The scripture reading has been the same one for several weeks. It comes out of Paul's first petition for the church of Philippi that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and all wisdom and insight. And then we went to 1 Corinthians 13 to unpack what Paul really understands love to be. This morning, this little detour, which has been very rich, is going to come to an end. Not that we ever can really finish talking about love. It's not as if we've perfected it now and can move on to something like judgment. We will continue to grow in love. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Philippians 1, verse 9. Paul prays, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." 1 Corinthians 13, 1. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." Love never ends. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Father, we have had truly an incredible hour so far of rehearsing and hearing and relearning the power of your love, the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, we are so indebted. We are so in need, and you've given us everything necessary for faith in Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would cause our eyes to see and ears to hear and our hearts to feel correctly, that we might be transformed even today in areas of our life that we didn't even know needed your work. Change us and fill us with so much joy that we are going to be unable to stop speaking about that which we've seen and heard. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do certainly want to say again, happy Father's Day to all of you. I enjoy being a dad very much, as I know you do. And I enjoy reading things about dads and what is said about dads around these times. You know, as children, we all grew up at one time or another saying this phrase, "My dad could beat up your dad." How many of you remember saying that at some point in your childhood? A lot of us know the reality of a conflict that was brewing when suddenly a friend, a companion would say, "My dad is stronger than your dad," or "My dad is richer than your dad," or "My dad can beat up your dad." Early in his career with the Peanuts, Schultz, January 4th, 1951, just about 5 months into it, made fun of this proposition. Here, Charlie Brown is looking Shermie in the eyes, and he says, "My dad could never lick your dad." Shermie looks him back in the eye and says, "Oh, I don't know. I don't think my dad could lick anybody." They then turn and walk together, and Charlie Brown says, "Mine neither." But he continues, "They are a couple of pretty good guys, though." Dads, your children have probably said at one time or another, "My dad could beat up your dad." But I wonder, in that dialogue, in the history of parenting, children being raised, if a child ever said, "My dad loves me better than your dad loves you. I wonder if any child has ever spoken those words, yet strength is really found in love. In fact, the greatest strength is found in love. Perfect love casts out fear. But love is so often seen as a feminine quality. It's not something that dads consider necessarily investing as a high priority in their children. Yet what has Paul said? If you raise a child who has so many things, even zeal for the faith, but has not love, your child will be nothing. Love is everything. Love is everything. Are we as parents teaching our children that? Are we demonstrating the power of love? Or do we have goals that really are greater than that we think, but in reality could cause our children to be nothing? Love is powerful. I want you to take your bulletin for a moment, or a scratch piece of paper, whatever it is you might have. And I want you, just for a moment, to begin thinking of words you might use to describe love. Not love between a man and his children, or a man and his wife, or a mom and her children, but describe the love of God for his people. What words might you use? What would you pencil there if you had three or four words that you could simply put there in place? I want you to think about that even as I preach. And I want you to go home this week and I want you to consider, what is it you would say? As you're considering it, listen to these words. No matter what you come up with, it will be tough to beat these. Listen, these words describing the love of God and his son Jesus. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Listen to the words. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Rolling as a mighty ocean, in its fullness, over me, underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward, to thy glorious rest above. Samuel Trevor Francis, 1875, penned those words, later put to the music that we so often sing of this incredible love of Christ. What goes through a man's heart and mind as he contemplates the love of Jesus at that level? It actually wasn't a spiritual high. It was a moment in London of deep devastation and crisis of faith, which is so often the case in which our hymn writers put together these incredible words and music that speak of the heart. There, as he's walking across a bridge in London, he is hearing a voice that is telling him to give up. He's hearing a voice that's saying, you cannot bear this any longer. He's hearing a voice, a dark voice or voices that are saying, jump over the bridge. And here Francis truly considers taking his own life. But in a moment, there was a louder voice. A voice of the Holy Spirit reminding him of the hope and truth of who Jesus Christ is. And here we get from him this description of the love of Christ that is vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Can you picture yourself for a moment? Can you picture yourself walking along a shoreline, and there is a beautiful coast with clear water that is incredibly powerful, that goes beyond your ability to see. You can't go as far as it goes. And it begins to engulf you, and suddenly you're out in it. And it's the cool waters of God's grace that are reminding you of this power. That's the visual that he has. That God's love is so vast that we can't measure it. It's boundless, meaning there is no limit to it. We get that from Paul, who talks about how wide and deep and long and high is the love of Christ. And there's no cost. It's free to us at the ultimate cost of Christ. That is his description. I'm not sure what you begin to write on that page. I'm not sure what you will write this week, but let those words influence it. Let the words of the gospel influence it, because we need it. What it tells us at the end of the first stanza of this hymn is that this love is leading onward, it's leading homeward to thy glorious, and what word does he use? Rest above. Why? This side of heaven, our souls are truly in a mixed place of incredible understanding of what already we have in Christ, yet the anguish of still living in a very broken world. That is why we come to these words. So often when we understand 1 Corinthians 13, we think that the phrase that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, is simply a summary of what Paul has already said. It's not. It's not just a summary saying, isn't this neat and beautiful and something that should be read at weddings? No. It's deeper. It's bigger. He's moving on. He's saying more. What he's saying is this, that love bears all things. And what does he mean by bear? He's talking about suffering. That we as Christians, as men and women and children in Christ, we are going to suffer. Jesus himself said, take up your cross daily and follow me. The cross is an emblem, a sign of real victory, but victory over death. Suffering is real for Christians. It comes in two ways. Suffering comes as we seek to proclaim Christ. We will have a real enemy who wants to silence that. Depending on how you live and how you live where you live, the suffering will be greater. The more bold you are for Christ in the darkest parts of the world, and we're in one, by the way, we're in a dark place. We really are. You will experience persecution. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of me. Great is their reward in heaven. But there's another type of suffering. It's the type of suffering that's common to all people who live in this broken, fallen world. It's a suffering of illness and death, of disease, of despair, much like Francis experienced on that bridge. I want you to just think for a moment, very carefully, about who is sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you. In this body, right now, present today, there is all types of suffering. All types of suffering that we need to bear. Love bears all things. What types of suffering? Last week, Monday, Friday, the work week in this church was sandwiched by two memorial services. Two large gatherings of people who came to remember two different men's lives and the hope that they had in Christ. For those families and friends, the suffering is real. The hope is real. But there's pain. In our body right now, there are parents who are praying, hoping, believing, seeking to bear all things with a child who's dying, whose prognosis doesn't look good. In this body are parents whose children have died. On this Father's Day right now, many are celebrating what it means to be a father for the very first time. And others are remembering for the first time that their daddy has died. And this is the first Father's Day without him. I remember what that was like a few years ago for me. In this body are moms and dads and grandparents who have lost children. And there are moms and dads who have lost children. Children who are not following Christ. Christ. They don't know whether they will ever turn. They may have even been baptized in this church, but they seem to be wayward. And that's painful. There are single people in our church who want to be married, and there are married people in our church who want to have children, but they can't. And it's painful. It's painful. There are people sitting near you right now who are so lonely that they feel as Francis did at moments. That's our church. And that didn't cover everything. Why do we need to hear that? The reason we need to hear that is because in this place where people come to worship, we have real needs. Because in this fallen world, brokenness, pain, hurt is real. It's not something that we can simply dress in a nice suit or a nice dress and put on a nice smile and suddenly it's gone. It's real. It's okay. It's okay, but it's real. There's husbands holding wives' hands who are about to go through and face medicine that will be painful. And they wonder what will happen as a result. And they're bearing it. Love bears all things. Do you know that's why we need each other? That's why we need a men's ensemble to speak boldly and passionately of this fire that we have, this zeal that we have, this hope that we have in Christ. Because we come in with pain. It's at different levels, at different times. Sometimes you're heading into a storm. Sometimes you're coming out. And sometimes you're right in the middle of it. And it's never the same for any of us. But we need each other. And we need each other to do what? Love. Love bears all things. When a brother or sister in Christ is at a moment when they say, I think it's unbearable. We need one another there to pray with them. To love them, to encourage them, to bring them a meal, to simply hold them and maybe say nothing. Love bears all things. And these phrases that Paul uses, these four, he says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. He begins with bears and he ends with endures, and they're actually two similar but different words. But sandwiched in between them, it's the fabric, the ingredients of these incredible graces. Do you see it? Love bears all things. How? By believing. By hoping. In this phrase, believes all things, Paul is speaking of faith. Faith, hope, and love. Love bears all things. Love believes. What does believes all things really mean? Does it mean we believe everything we hear? No. What Paul is saying is we believe the things, all the things that God has spoken to us in His Word that are true. Did you enjoy singing this morning, Jesus loves me, this I know? Did you? How many of you didn't even know that was in our hymnal? Kind of surprised, weren't you? Jesus loves me, this I know. Complete it. Very good. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Because the Bible tells us so, we believe it. We believe all of God's Word. And when we believe all of God's Word, we're believing His promises. What are His promises? One is this: do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He will. He promises. So love believes all things about what God has spoken. But then Paul goes on. That's faith to hope. Love hopes all things. What I want you to understand about the word hope in the New Testament is that it's very different. It's very different in the Greek than the way we understand it. We tend to think of hope as something where we say, you know, I hope this happens, but I'm not certain it will. There's no certainty to it because anything could happen. So I pray and I cross my fingers. I hope it will happen. When the New Testament almost always uses the word hope, the word is with confident expectation that this will happen. This is going to happen. It's not something where we can say, I hope my mom will become a Christian. I can guarantee she will because I'm hoping, as the Bible says. You can't guarantee that. But the hope is in God's plan, God's faithfulness, God's power. And so whenever you see it in the New Testament, it's this real sense that love truly hopes in all that God has promised. This expectation gives us confidence to journey as we should. You believe what we have sang. It is well with my soul. It just undoes me. Because it's a hope. It's a hope, a New Testament hope, that isn't in a hope it goes well. No, a hope that it is well. It is well. Even now, the pain that you may be going through, the suffering that you may be bearing, truly may sense to be unbearable. But pain and suffering has a time limit. The time limit varies from person to person. But in the end, there is a conclusion to that. There is a moment when all suffering is going to stop for those who are in Christ. There is a moment for eternity where we will no longer need hope. We will be experiencing it fully. So as brothers and sisters in Christ, we love. We love with that kind of hope. We love with that kind of belief. We love with this bearing. And what happens? We endure. We endure. It's called perseverance of the saints. We indeed persevere. Over the weekend, last Sunday, we were traveling back to Dallas. I was grateful for Julian being here and filling the pulpit. We'd gone on a few days vacation, resting up in the beautiful Ozarks, Big Cedar Lodge, swimming, playing, doing all kinds of things. The vacation suddenly came to an end on Sunday when we were returning back to Dallas. Mile marker 72, traffic jam, Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. Warning light goes off. Beep, 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 beep. And it tells me that the engine is overheating. That's interesting. I just made my final payment on the Suburban. Truly. I pull over to the side, navigate through some traffic, and I see 2 miles ahead, Love's Country Store. I nurse the car along the shoulder of the road. I pull off. My kids are scared. My wife is scared. I'm scared. Pull off, pop the hood, get the kids out of the car, and pretend I know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I open the hood. I see fluid at the bottom. I know that's bad, so I go buy fluid. I bring fluid out. I put it where it's supposed to go. It goes out the bottom. I call my brother-in-law, tell him the situation. He's coming. Then I stay outside for 4 hours, coming in every once in a while to check on my wife. And I look at the engine, and I climb under the engine. Why? Because I don't want to be inside with my wife, taking care of 5 kids in a Love Country Store. So I pretend I know what I'm doing. When it comes to love, when it comes to love, so many of us as Christians have the hood popped. We're looking at it. We really don't know what we're doing. We don't know. God's word has been teaching us that love is powerful. It should be changing you. You should be experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit to say, I must love better. You know what I've discovered a lot over the last several weeks? Is that my love is not vast, but it's quite small. And my love is not unmeasurable, but it's quite measurable. And my love is not boundless, but it's full of boundaries. and often motivated by poor things. That's why I need His love. That's why I need to be reminded that in my own strength and power, I could never fix what's underneath this hood. I could never sort it out and say, yes, this is perfect. But I have a Savior. A Savior who shows me His love. And His love is vast. His love is unmeasurable. It's boundless and it's free. And that's why Paul says love never ends. And that's why Paul, in his first petition for the church at Philippi, said, may your love abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Brothers and sisters, it is an incredible joy to be together weekly. It is an incredible joy to sit next to people and be a part of people who right now are seeking to bear very hard things. Let's bear them well together by loving each other. By loving each other. By loving each other in a way that Christ has called us to. A love that is deep and real and filled with hope. Let's pray. Father, we are in a safe place. It's your place. It's your house. And we are your people. You are with us. And God, I know the list of pain can be so great. But there is a victory that is in you that comforts and consoles and gives hope even to souls that are at the end, that are saying, I don't know how much more I can bear. Oh God, help us to trust you, to see that it's your love that bears all things. Help us to have faith and hope and love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.